From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Madeline Baxter with this news. The Juneau International Airport is eligible for almost $22 million in CARES Act relief money over the next 4 years. Most public airports in Alaska are state-owned, meaning state lawmakers and the State Department of Transportation have oversight of their CARES Act money. But Juneau's airport is municipally owned and operated. The Juneau Airport Board's decision last week to put its share of the money into operations and nothing for big-ticket capital construction means Juneau may be foregoing millions of dollars. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Juneau's airport manager, Patty Watto, wanted to put some of its CARES Act money toward operations and some toward a construction project that's been in the works for years.
We would benefit more, get the biggest bang for our buck, by doing some capital side of things as well as using a big chunk of it to offset what our operational losses would be.
But the airport board wanted the money to go toward operational expenses only, like payroll, deferring fee increases, and dealing with impacts from the pandemic. The pandemic and travel restrictions have slashed the collection of traffic-related fees to 1/20th of what's normal. Staffing has been stable, though, and the grant requires the airport keep at least 90% of its employees through the year. Watto said CARES Act money could cover the $11 million hit to the airport's operating budget she estimated over the next 4 years, the deadline for spending it. The rest of the money is trickier because the Federal Aviation Administration has a lot of strings attached. For example, it can't be used to waive rent for airport tenants.
So to use $21.7 million in operational legally, that would be a very difficult thing for the airport to do.
Which is why Watto recommended letting the feds pay for some or all of the $12 million needed to build a new equipment shop for the airport's snow removal operations. Watto said the 20,000 square foot project was a good fit. It wasn't an either-or choice. The FAA said airports could split the grant money between qualified capital projects like that one and operations. In public testimony, airport tenants, airline representatives, and the airport gift shop operator were critical of the capital spending proposal. Some argued it was coming at the expense of offsetting airport fees that businesses are struggling with. Here's Alaska Seaplanes President Kent Crayford.
Do what we can to support the businesses on the airfield that are struggling right now. Maybe we can't use these exact dollars, but these dollars can be used to support payroll and other costs at the airport. And that means that frees up money. All money's fungible,
Airport board members said they were uncomfortable with committing to a capital project with so much uncertainty about how the travel industry will rebound and the next 4 years generally. Board member Angela Rodell said not committing to the equipment shop project would give them flexibility and serve the most people.
And if we don't use all $21 million, we don't use all $21 million. And we just have to be comfortable with that.
The airport board unanimously passed Rodell's motion to use CARES Act money on airport operations. But if Watto's estimates are in the ballpark and airport officials can't find ways to spend the leftover CARES Act money within the FAA's rules, roughly $11 million could be returned to the federal government. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Many Alaskans are probably feeling especially vulnerable right now. Maybe they lost their job and are waiting for that federal check to pay some bills or put food on the table. Or maybe they're hunkered down in their home, hoping that they don't get sick and contract COVID-19. Meanwhile, there are unscrupulous people who are online or working the phones to take advantage of the situation. KTOO's Matt Miller reports on how to recognize some of the scams and frauds that are underway and what you can do to protect yourself.
This influenza that is now circling the globe, you're saying that silver solution would be effective.
Well, let's say it hasn't been tested on this strain of the coronavirus.
That's TV evangelist Jim Baker helping sell a drinkable liquid with silver particles to prevent or cure anything from the common flu to SARS and HIV. Even though there's been no credible medical research to back up such claims, it's being marketed here as a potential cure for coronavirus.
Able to eliminate it within 12 hours.
Yeah.
Totally eliminate it, kills it, and deactivates it.
Yeah.
That's just one example of the coronavirus scams and frauds featuring bogus home testing kits, non-existent vaccines, and dubious cure-all elixirs.
If something seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Brian Schroeder is the U.S. Attorney for Alaska, the top federal prosecutor in the state.
If you're being offered a cure when we know that there's not any treatments out there that have been approved yet, or you know you're being offered a test when we know those are being controlled by, you know, by hospitals and medical professionals, chances are that's some kind of scam.
John Haley, an assistant attorney general working in the state's Consumer Protection Unit, says scammers get leverage by capitalizing on people's fear and anxiety. But this time, with the current pandemic, that fear is already universally built in.
Because when people are afraid, they'll often make, you know, rash decisions kind of quickly without thinking things through because of that heightened anxiety, of that, you know, quickened heartbeat. And people will, you know, make mistakes in their guard. They go up, but not in the right direction.
Schroeder says other frauds include masks and other personal protective equipment apparently being sold at sky-high prices or by companies that suddenly emerge out of thin air. He says scammers may also pose as charities, cold-calling potential victims with bogus pitches to get their credit card information. Sarah Nashell is with the advocacy organization AARP Alaska, and she says the biggest scam right now appears related to small business loans, unemployment payments, and stimulus funds. They're likely phishing attempts. That's phishing with a PH.
Be careful of anybody calling, emailing, or texting stating that they need to verify your bank account or your personal information in order to deposit or speed up, say, your stimulus check or your Trump dollars.
Shell says anyone who had their tax refunds directly deposited recently does not need to submit their bank account number. U.S. Attorney Brian Schroeder says an effective tool is using your common sense.
Somebody's asking you for something and there's that queasy feeling in the pit of your stomach that, hey, maybe I shouldn't do this. Don't do it. Take a step back. If you feel concerned about, you know, hitting that button on your computer, stop and don't do it and get some help.
The advice that everyone gives includes hanging up the phone, don't give out your personal info or credit card number, and the link in that email or text message could lead to the theft of your personal info or load malware on your computer or cell phone. Like other federal prosecutors around the country, Schroeder says they have a dedicated COVID consumer fraud coordinator in their Anchorage office, so they can track down and prosecute a scammer operating out of another state.
Right from the top, Attorney General Barr told us, I want you to make this a priority to stop this as it, you know, as we see it happening.
Haley says the state's Consumer Protection Unit can't file criminal charges, but they can take civil action to shut down fraudsters and scammers in Alaska and impose hefty fines. And that's pretty much what happened with Jim Baker, who helped market the silver collodial on his TV show. And New York State's Attorney General sent Baker a cease and desist letter, and Missouri has sued to prevent him from trying again to sell the stuff later. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Pelican will get monthly ferry service this summer after all. A revised Alaska Marine Highway schedule released Friday restores monthly sailings to the remote community on western Chichagof Island. And there's some better news on the other side of the island as well. After having its May sailings canceled, Tenakee Springs will now see the ferry LeConte twice in June. Both towns were hit hard by the winter breakdown of the ferry system. Neither has had a sailing since October of last year, frustrating the town's mayors as well as many residents. Being left off the draft summer schedule entirely only added insult to injury. Business owners in particular were left scrambling for alternative options to move freight during the summer months. The Department of Transportation later revised the schedule, sending the LeConte to Pelican and Tenakee in May, but those trips were canceled due to COVID-19 concerns. Instead, the LeConte will now sail once a month to Pelican from June through September. It will also make two trips to Tenakee in June. Selling Girl Scout cookies is normally a foolproof business model, but the coronavirus outbreak has cooled sales for Alaska Scouts. The Girl Scouts of Alaska looked for help, and the group is expected to receive a federal recovery loan to help compensate for lost cookie sales. The Anchorage Daily News reported First National Bank Alaska facilitated the federal Paycheck Protection Program loan. As a result of the shutdown, about 144,000 unsold boxes have filled the homes of Alaska Scouting families. The loan allows the organization's employees to keep working and provide online sales for Girl Scouts stuck at home. Checking in on weather, it's currently rainy and breezy and about 45 degrees in Juneau. Tonight, showers continue, low around 39 degrees. Tomorrow, more showers mainly before 1 p.m., then rain after 1 p.m. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.